Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Jason Offit back with us, has been a journalist since 1987, teaches journalism at Northwest Missouri State University. Prior to that, he was the managing editor for the Kansas City entertainment magazine called The X and a humor columnist for the Examiner newspapers in Jackson County, Missouri. He's got a Master's of Arts degree in communication from Central Missouri State University in Warrensburg. And Jason, welcome back. Your latest book, I hear, is called The Girl in the Corn. That sounds scary.
Well, yeah, it just won an award. It's the won the Benjamin Franklin Gold Award from the Independent Book Publishers Association, and was one of the finalists for the Silver Falcon Award from the Killer Nashville book award contest.
Good for you.
I'm pretty happy with it.
Is there a possible movie here?
You know what? I got my fingers crossed, but I've had some dealings with folks out in Hollywood before, and if there is, this sort of thing takes a long time.
And you have another novel out called How to Build a Time Machine.
Right. Yeah, I like humor, and I try to keep it out of my horror for obviously, but I really cut loose with How to Build a Time Machine. It's a humorous sci-fi, and it got a lot of great reviews.
Good for you. How have you been lately, Jace?
Man, you know, George, I've been great. The weather in Northwest Missouri has finally started turning cold, so I'm happy.
It's coming this way. I'm in St. Louis right now, and we're gonna get it pretty soon.
Yeah, it's coming.
How did you get involved in paranormal writing?
Well, I had always wanted to write. It's one of those dreams as a little kid that I told my parents I wanted to write books when I grew up, and they patted the top of my head and then sent me along to play. But I've been interested in monsters ever since the early 70s. I've always been a voracious reader, even when I was pretty young, and I'd look at the newspaper, and back in 1973, there were stories in the Kansas City newspaper about Bigfoot sightings out in Louisiana, Missouri, and thinking, my gosh, there's monsters in my home state? It's amazing. So that got me, Momo got me fascinated in monsters.
And you wrote a book 4 years ago called Chasing American Monsters. They're all over the place, aren't they?
Right. Yes, they are. And what I tried to do with Chasing American Monsters is go state by state and show what monsters are in each state. Because yes, whether legendary or real, they're all out. They're out there everywhere.
What kind of monsters are we talking about here, Jace?
Well, we're talking everything from, of course, Bigfoot. It's the one monster that is in 49, has been encountered in 49 states. The only one it hasn't been in is Hawaii. I guess it doesn't like poi for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's been seen everywhere. I mean, everything from Bigfoot to extreme monsters like the Hodag or up in Wisconsin, or it's not ringing a bell right now. Hold on for a second and I'll get it. But it's a monster that is that cries all the time. It looks like a giant wrinkled pig, and it's just really depressed. So anything from stuff that can be real to you know, legendary stories that are just kind of fun.
Is that the White Screamer?
No, the White Screamer is out of Tennessee. A man encountered it back in the 1800s. He and his family kept hearing screaming from outside the house, and eventually he got tired of it and got his gun one night and went looking for it, and he followed the screams throughout the forest, and eventually the screams led him back around to his house, and what was actually screaming were members of his family who were all slaughtered by something that he saw running away that was a white beast.
Clearly people are seeing things, aren't they?
There are way too many sightings for them not to be, especially when it comes to something like Bigfoot. There are so many credible sightings. There is so much evidence out there that if this were a murder trial, somebody just from that evidence could be put away.
A couple nights ago, I was talking to Lon Strickler about flying humanoids near Chicago and winged creatures. I mean, unbelievable. Did you ever come across any of those?
Well, I only came across one winged creature. Lon's great, by the way. He has done some tremendous work through the years, and I followed his work through through the winged creatures in Chicago, and it's fascinating. There was one winged creature that I covered, and it wasn't necessarily the person I interviewed didn't necessarily call it a creature. He called it a man. He and his family were walking home from church in the small town of Camden, Missouri, and he saw, he was about 10 years old, and he saw up in a tree a man standing there with wings, and it saw him see it, and he told his parents, I mean, look, there's a guy in the tree, and the thing just sprang into the air and flew off. They never did see it again, but there were a couple of people, he said, from his childhood who reported it in the area throughout the next couple of years.
What is some of the most unusual creatures that you have investigated or come across?
Well, there are a lot of different bizarre creatures. One of them is the Demon Leaper from Louisville, Kentucky. It was spotted in the late 1800s. There was an article in the New York Times about it. It was a large bat-like creature, you know, big leathery wing, talons, pointed ears, you know, pointed teeth. And basically what the description was a gargoyle sitting on top of a building. And, you know, we see those in old architecture all the time.
Sure.
But this one took off into the air. And it was seen specifically... I have my window open. I'm sorry, George.
That's okay.
That was a cat. It was not a cryptid.
Monster cat coming in to get you.
Exactly.
Live on the air.
If the phone goes dead, that's it, the monster cat. But, yeah, I think just the fact that we found people reported seeing a gargoyle flying through the air in Louisville, Kentucky, I think is absolutely fascinating.
I mean, what else could they be looking at to make that kind of report?
I mean, I don't know. That sort of thing, it could be mistaken. I mean, there aren't any extraordinarily large, you know, bats in the United States. Not like, what's the one in Australia? The fox-faced bat? Those things are enormous. But what else could it be? I mean, the wings? It could be pterodactyl wings, which those things have been seen in a number of places in the United States over the years.
Prehistoric birds, you think they could still be around?
You know, if anything could be, I think it could be the birds. There have been a lot of, a lot of discussion, from Central America to Mexico to the American Southwest of dinosaurs, of birds especially. There was back in 1977, a group of teachers were driving through Texas, West Texas, they were coming home from a conference. And they saw a pterodactyl in the sky. Now, these were four, not just teachers, but science teachers. You think four science teachers would know what a pterodactyl looked like. And I think they very well could. Something I think might be a little bit more realistic would be the Thunderbirds from Native American lore.
Thunderbirds. Right.
Yeah, the description of those are... basically, the description of a pterotaur, a bird that lived back in the Ice Age. Those very well still could be around.
I think that's real. There's a historical story of the Piesaw bird, which is a thunderbird, in Alton, Illinois. And on the cliffs of the banks of the Mississippi, there's a huge depiction of this bird that they talk about. And they talk about how some of the Native Americans fought it, because it came back with its talons and tried to pick up Native Americans and fly off with them. It was incredible. Did you ever hear of that, the Piesaw bird?
I sure did, and I know exactly what painting you're talking about. I have seen it. It's fascinating because those type of birds have been seen not just in ancient times, but in the last 100, 150 years. There was a story, I think it might have been out of Pennsylvania, back in the early 1900s, where a 12-year-old child was picked up by a bird of large size, and if it wasn't for the fact that his parents came out screaming and throwing things at it, it would have whisked him away.
Truly remarkable.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. And there are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold can let you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to make that change. To learn more, text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust, Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jason Offit with us. We're talking about his works, and Chasing American Monsters is a book he wrote 4 years ago. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You got to tell me about this title, The Girl in the Corn. That sounds like a horror book.
Well, yeah, it definitely is a horror book. I've investigated and I've just done a lot of fun research, reading for fun on all sorts of paranormal and mythological beings. And one that has always fascinated me is the little people, the fae, because these things are all over the world. You know, when you think of fairies, you think of European lore, and specifically, you know, Irish leprechauns, mm-hmm. but, you know, elves and kobolds, trolls, the Tom Tar from Sweden, the Norse mythology had their little people, all throughout Asia, South America, there are lots of stories of magical little people throughout North America. Whenever a similar tale is told world round that has been, before the time when supposedly our cultures were talking to each other, there's got to be some truth to it, I think. And I was with my daughter when she was a little younger. She was watching the Disney Channel, and a fairy movie was on. And I was like, you know, fairies aren't like that. They're not like that Disney, you know, they're not like the Disney fairy at all. So that was the germ of The Girl in the Corn. I grew up on a farm, so I based it on a farm. But it's about a boy who sees a fairy in the corn, in the garden, and it terrorizes him his whole life.
I was first introduced to leprechauns with a Disney movie called Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
That's with Sean Connery, if I don't
way back.
Yep. Yes.
It was a classic, and I've been fascinated with the story of leprechauns and stuff. Got a little disappointed when they came out with a movie of that leprechaun being evil.
Well, that
remember
was
that one?
A bit cheesy, yes. I believe that was Jennifer Aniston's first movie role, yeah. Well, one of the things about the little people that really it made me happy when this was discovered was back in, oh my gosh, the early 2000s or maybe the mid 2000s, on the island of Flores, the locals down around Indonesia, the locals had talked about the Ibu Gogo. That was part of their local folklore. It was the their little people who would come and steal food and sometimes steal babies to eat from the tribesmen.
Oh, jeez!
And they had this story, and of course, Western science, you know, completely disregarded it as mythology until scientists found in a cave system that the locals told them is where these Ibu Gogo were. They found up to 3 foot tall skeletons of fully grown humans, and it turned out to be a different offshoot of humanity, and it was called Homo floresiensis, and they were dubbed the hobbits because they only grew to be about 3 or 4 foot tall. But that really confirmed what the locals had been talking about all that time.
Why do you think mainstream science, Jason, really doesn't dive into these stories, because they're truly remarkable stories?
They are a lot of mainstream science, and I have all the respect in the world for mainstream science, but a lot of it has to do with grant money. And if they start investigating, paranormal or just strange topics, they're not going to get that grant money. So they don't. They don't want to hurt their reputation. There's another example. In 1998. There was an ape that was discovered called the Billy Ape, B-I-L-I, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where a lot of cryptozoological sightings are there. But the locals said that it was a giant chimpanzee that howled at the moon and, you know, would kill leopards and eat them. They walked upright, but they would make beds like gorillas. And, you know, science considered that a fanciful tale until in 1998, they discovered that these, you know, tribesmen were 100% right. This thing existed. So, yes, why don't we listen to the local folklore? Because those stories came about for a reason.
It's a little like some pilots who refuse to report UFO sightings that they see.
Right. But, I mean, I understand that. It's either, you know, talk about the UFO that they saw, or maybe lose their job.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
What would you say is the most ludicrous monster story you've ever heard?
Oh, there are quite a few. I think the Bolt Rock Slider from Colorado is pretty silly. This goes back to the days of gold and silver mining back in the 1840s, and it supposedly was a whale, a land-based whale with a big hook on its tail, and it would put the hook on the top of a mountain and just lay there and wait for prey to walk beneath it, and then it would unleash its hook and slide down and swallow up whoever was below it. It was probably come up with by miners who wanted to scare away claim jumpers. But that was pretty silly. But also, if you think about it, if that was real, my God, how terrifying would that be?
And there have been some terrifying stories too, haven't there?
Oh, there have been. I really think there are definitely, and I didn't just write this for fun. Although I had a lot of fun writing that book. There are a lot of creatures out there that are scary. There are dangerous creatures. The Lawton werewolf in Lawton, Oklahoma. There were a number of sightings from credible people of a werewolf over a short period of time. And you know, considering all the dogman sightings that we've had over the years through Michigan and the Beast of Bray Road, that combined with the Lugaroo stories, which are werewolves in Louisiana. Again, it's one of those tales that has got to have some truth behind it, I think.
Group of people were on a train in Colorado. We've got this on our coasttocoastam.com website in the highlight reel, Jason. And they have cell phone video of what looks like a Bigfoot out there in the hinterlands. And if it's a guy, he's out there by the mountains and things all by himself, dressed up like Bigfoot, which is kind of crazy to do because someone's going to take a shot at you.
I know all these people that come out, well, it's just a guy in a suit. I don't know who's crazy enough to dress in a Bigfoot suit. I had read when they were filming Return of the Jedi, they were using the Pacific Northwest, specifically up in Washington, as the planet moon Endor, and they had people guarding Peter Mayhew, who dressed as Chewbacca, because they were afraid some hunter was going to shoot him for a Bigfoot.
That's crazy.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.